Sometimes people struggle with what we're doing this evening. And I'm not sure if it's from an intellectual point of view or an emotional point of view or what, but what we're doing tonight is God is loving his people so very much, knowing that he is ready, as our gospel just said, to pass over from this world to his Father. He does not leave us abandoned. He gives us the great gift of the sacramental life. Now on this day, traditionally speaking, there's two liturgies that take place. The first one is the Chrism Mass, where we receive the oils, which make new Christians, heal sick Christians, and ordain Christians for public ministry. Then we move into the very clear institution of the priesthood, which then gives us the institution of the Eucharist. Without the priest, we have no Eucharist. Without God, we have none of it. And some people really struggle with the concept of Jesus appointing a priesthood, first of all, because, well, let's face it, look at me. Or look at Peter. Or look at Judas. Now we know from Peter and Judas, both of them have sinned, and there's different gravities of sin. We know that as Catholics, we call them original sin, venial sin, mortal sin. There's degrees in our offenses to the Lord, our offenses to one another, our offenses to ourselves. There's degrees. It's not all equal. Just in the home life, there's little infractions that we do to one another. Husbands do to wives. Wives do to husbands. Children do to... There's parents, and parents do to their children. Parents grow impatient, and they lose their temper. Usually, it's not thought out and planned. It's reactionary, which we would call venial sin. Thank you. Other times, the priest sits and plots and thinks, how can I get my people angry at me? I know this Sunday's homily. And then he plots and plans, which we would call mortal sin, right? There's a very clear difference. Both Peter and Judas betrayed the Lord. One will repent immediately when he discovers that he's done it. More of a reactionary type than planned out, perhaps. But the other one has been plotting, spying, preparing to betray the Lord. And he doesn't repent. He takes his own life. Jesus called both of them to ministry. He's called you to Christianity. So sometimes when we think God wouldn't need this ongoing, unbroken line of succession of the apostles, because clearly they're human and they're dysfunctional. Absolutely true. And I would say the same of the baptized. I would say the same of Moses. I would say the same of all of God's leaders that he has by name handpicked. Some have done very well, some have not. Some have done very well and then lost. Some have done very poorly and then grew. It's a mixed bag, isn't it? And so are we. So to use the thought that just because, you know, priests don't measure up to what we expect, therefore God did not call them or God does not desire this, that's just a faulty thinking. We could say the same of God calling the Israelites, his chosen people. God calling you, his chosen people. We're making the same mistakes more often than not than the Israelites. We're wandering in a desert, and we don't even know we're in a desert half the time. And then when the Lord gives us manna and feeds us in our hunger and our discontent, we still complain. This is the human condition. And until the second coming, it will continue to be the human condition. There will be Peter's, and there will be Judas's, both within the ministerial priesthood as well as the baptized priesthood. This is the state of affairs, which is why God gives us the sacrament of reconciliation, in the hopes that at some point, like Peter, standing in a fire, we'll realize what we have done when we hear the cock crow, and we'll quickly weep for our sins and our offenses to God. Some say it's hard to believe that Jesus would remain with us under the guise of bread and wine. Well, we thought the same thing when he came at Christmas as a baby. God's not going to come in poopy diapers, and God came in poopy diapers. Some followed and believed. Others said, God wouldn't do this. Would it be any different when he gives us the Eucharist? And God didn't say, I will come, symbolically in this baby. You know, it's a memory of something else. No, he is true God, true man. So too with the Eucharist. Well, God is spiritually in communion. No, communion is God because he said so. This is my body. Not like it. Similar to find some feelings when you come up for communion. No, he is, whether we believe it or not. And this is the whole mystery of our Christianity, isn't it? That you and I, in the very beginning of our, when we're baptized, are called to be incorporated into him. And how many of us in our world today think he's called to be incorporated into us? That everything he has revealed is up for grabs. We need only look at our own church to see the division, the divisiveness. When things become uncomfortable, let's change the teachings. When things become too burdensome, let's change what was revealed. When God hands us a cross, let's reject it. And Jesus tonight, is showing us that's not a child of God. Children of God do not tell their father how it's going to be. Children of God love their father, trust their father, and if their father says, mount the cross, by golly, grab it with both hands and hang on. Because that's love. Complete and total gift of self. Not holding back a little bit here, a little bit there. You never know, might need this reserve for later. Nope, it's 100%. And that's what he's calling us to. And this is why he gives us the sacraments. We need the grace. We need the power. Not human power, not human emotion. We need God's power. We need God's love, which is grace. And when that grace comes to us, his Spirit is enlivening us. And the one-time-fits-all doesn't work either, does it? You tell your spouse, I love you only once, and then we're done. No, it's a constant reminder, a constant call, a constant invitation, a constant prodding of your own heart to remember to say, I love you. And that's what the sacrament of life is. Times where God is saying, I love you. I know what I'm asking of you. I know it's hard. I know you will be tempted, and I will be your strength if you let me. Friends, it is a great night tonight. Yeah, it's spring break. Half of our people are bathing in the Florida sun, and here we are. It's a great night, not because we're here. It's a great night because what God has done for us. This week has changed things forever. Some will recognize it, some won't. And God weeps over that. But there is no force in fear, not with our God. Simple invitation. Do you realize what I have done for you? Probably not. You will later. God washes the feet of dirty humans. The Creator cleans his creation. The Almighty bows and bends down before broken, fallen humanity. And as he has done, so must you and I do. Our world is extremely polarized right now on multiple levels: ideology, politically, theologically. You and I must not enter into that fray. We must be faithful to what God has called us to. Be clear what God has called us to. In a very difficult time and an uncertainty, God has called me to be a priest, a good, hardworking priest. Will I measure up? Not. But I'm going to try, with your help. God has called you, some of you, to holy matrimony. You need to be good parents. You need to teach your children the important things of life, not the unimportant things. And there's many of them. Don't be deceived. Don't get lost in the weeds. Be clear about who you are and what your vocation is. God has called some to be consecrated, either in religious life or simply as set apart, to be volunteers. Do it with joy and zeal. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing, what everyone else has. God has called some to be students at this point in their life. Hopefully it's not a permanent vocation, people. I mean, education is. We always need to be learning, but don't spend all your parents' money now. We're seeking the truth. That's what education is for. Basket weaving is not worth the money. Don't sit in those classes. Sit where you're going to learn about humanity and about God entering into humanity, and try to help us discover more and more of God's beautiful creation. Not to pit reason and faith, but to show the world that, no, these two are two wings of the same being, and we need them both. There is a time when we can figure things out within our intellect. And I tell you, in many hospital beds that I've sat by, your intellect won't help you there, but your faith will. So let's ask the Holy Spirit tonight to help us grow in our faith, to thank and praise God for what he's doing for us, what he has done for us, continues to do for us, his continued presence among us in Holy Communion. The goal and the hope is that you and I be Holy Communion to one another, to a broken, hurting world, to show them what forgiveness means, that when I've done wrong, I say I'm sorry, quickly. Not wait and ponder, not brew and stir, not wait till they make the first move. Grow up. It's time for us to repent. He needs us. The world needs us. We need to do it. So let's thank the Lord tonight for his love, his unconditional love, which is poured out in so many ways. Family and friends, gift of faith, the gift of each other.